On this third Sunday of Advent, we continue to hear, we are to pay attention to Christ's inbreaking presence. We hear about what this brings, this joy that gushes forth when we encounter the Lord's presence near to us. Isaiah describes this and says how the desert will bloom and there will be joy as God draws near. That there will be healing and restoration. The blind will see, the deaf will hear. John hears the same thing in our gospel reading today, just as we do, that Jesus' presence brings about this healing and restorative kingdom. We know that this is what we are to long for, that we are to pay attention to Christ in our midst in such a way that this healing and restoration occurs, and in such a way that we begin to recognize the joy we are to have at Christ's presence. And of course, our challenge is that we easily miss what God is up to in the world. We easily miss God's activity, we miss God's word being spoken. And when this happens, we find ourselves not going down the paths of healing and restoration, of peace and joy, but instead we often devolve into grumbling against one another. We begin to pass judgments against our brothers and our sisters, not seeing the path that Christ would lay for us. We walk our own, we walk the world in a way that makes sense to us, and so we evaluate others on our terms, and we are upset with them when they don't function as we think they should. Something I got to see firsthand yesterday, driving up as the snow began in Indy, there were some who wanted to be a little cautious and take their time, and there were others who thought the roads were perfectly fine and didn't want to pay any heed to them. And so you could see that there'd be frustration between these two groups sometimes, as some would vie to pass, others would try to help slow things up. And all along we can see that there probably was some grumbling going on between these cars, that we can devolve into these judgments of one another. And James tells us, don't do this, because the true judge, the one who sees accurately, is standing at the door, is here, coming in. And what will Christ do if Christ finds us so bickering with one another, levying such judgments against each other, grumbling about our brothers and our sisters? No, this is not how we are to be. This is not how we would want to be found by Christ. Which, of course, is exactly why the prophets were sent. Try to help steer us back towards the Word of God. Try to help us hear God's perspective in our midst, to help us recognize, yes, God is drawing near to us. This is something Isaiah wanted to point out for the people elsewhere. And he says, even when you're trying to focus on God, you're still grumbling against each other. You're still lashing out against one another. You fast only to quarrel and to strike with the wicked fist. This isn't the fast that God wants. This isn't how God wants you to behave. So the prophets have to interject and say, listen, God has a message for you, and it's to stop, desist from behaving in these ways where you're tearing each other down, where you're levying these judgments, where you're grumbling against one another. Let us walk in a new way, on a new path towards healing and restoration. And of course, we know that we still struggle with this too. It's a very human condition to turn away from God's paths and to walk in these other ways. We too gather here to be reminded of Christ's inbreaking presence, and may well find ourselves in the week ahead grumbling against our neighbors, being upset with their perspectives and their viewpoints, wanting to run roughshod over those around us. This is challenging for us. The prophets, of course, had to see this challenge, and they had to do so where they didn't always have all the answers themselves. They got momentary glimpses of this word of God when God would speak to them and say, share this, but that wasn't all of the time. Always know what to expect or what was happening or God's word on a given subject. They had to wait to have that word revealed. And so James tells us today as well about this patience then that they had to have, both with themselves as they waited to hear this word, but also with the world around them as it still struggled to live and behave as it should. This world around them that would reject them or even put them in prison, as we hear where John is today. Doesn't always accept prophets very well, and yet they endured. They consistently sought to make this word of God known. And they're willing to wait, to be patient, as hard as that may be, just ask Elijah, for that to come about. And we see this is what's going on for John today too. He too, though he was the prophet who was pointing to Christ, who was preparing the way for the Messiah, wonders now. He isn't able to know, is Jesus really the one who has come? And he's willing to wait. I can keep up my vigil, my eyes and my ears. I thought it was you, but I haven't been able to hear and to see that you are the Messiah yet. Help me, Lord, know if this was you. Even prophets have a hard time always recognizing God's presence in our midst. Yet thankfully, Jesus reaches back out and says, yes, it is me. And in fact, he tells the messengers to have their ears and eyes opened to him. Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The ears of the deaf are opened. You have your eyes and your ears open to recognize who I am as the Word of God made flesh. And as these messengers would come back and report the rest of the words that Jesus had to share with John, I can't help but imagine that John was well aware of this reading from Isaiah and hearing this is the one who's bringing about this healing and restoration, as the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can leap like a deer. The good news of God's kingdom is unfolding. And indeed, this presence of God in this world is now entering differently than it ever has before, through even prophets. For now, we're not getting glimpses, momentary bursts of God's word on the scene, but God's word has taken on flesh and is living among us and is inaugurating that kingdom. That's what John gets to hear today. That's what we are invited to hear today as well. To know joy. God is at work. God is here. No joy that the prophets' hopes and dreams are fulfilled in Christ. That they have always wanted the Word of God to draw near to us and for us to pay heed. Well, the Word of God is very near now. It's enduring for all time. This is the one that John got to point to say, listen to him. And I wonder if that may be why Jesus says about John that he was the greatest of all those born of women. He was the prophet who got to point not just to some momentary understandings of this word of God that came to him, but he was the prophet that pointed to the word of God made flesh. The word of God who dwells among us. What a greater message than any that had been before. And then we also hear, at least is he among those in the kingdom of God. Why? Well, because the kingdom of God never wonders about who Jesus is. Constantly know and have our eyes and ears opened to this word of God. I think that's the issue going on here. And we, of course, are still in that liminal space. We are like John. There are times we wonder, Jesus, are you still here? Are you still working? Are you still the one? Christ still has to assure us, yes, I am still at work. I am still accomplishing the healing and restoration that God longs to bring about. I'm still making a way where there was no way. I'm still bringing waters to parched places. And that's what he reminds us of in John's ministry. John sought to do this as well. Just last week we heard about this river flowing in the wilderness, the River Jordan, where he was baptizing people and having them confess their sins. And now while John is imprisoned, his ministry continues. Jesus continues this ministry of bringing water into the wilderness, but not just the physical landscape, as we know, but Jesus is bringing the water of life into the wilderness of our souls. This is what he has shared with the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John. I will give you a spring of water that will gush up to eternal life. The water I will give you may never need draw water from a well again. So this is the water Jesus brings, and it allows us to grow, to flourish, to bloom where we are planted, to have our eyes opened to the Word of God standing among us, to have our ears open to what this Word would say to us. And as we recognize Christ's presence, we know the path upon which Christ would lead us, this one that we cannot falter upon, this one that draws us into God's loving presence. We may feel like we haven't been able to walk on this path because we are unclean, because we are lame, and yet in Christ we can leap for joy. We know our uncleanliness is removed. We are welcome to walk this path with Christ. This is good news indeed. We get to see and hear this once more in this feast that we share in, as Christ makes himself known to us in this bread and wine and this body and blood, continues to uphold us, continues to draw us back together, continues to open our eyes and our ears to God's presence in our midst. And as we receive this nourishment today, we are strengthened to continue our Advent journey. Continue to look for Christ's inbreaking presence. And as we look, we will see and hear of wondrous things that Christ is accomplishing. And this will fill us with joy. We may even have to sing aloud for what Christ is accomplishing and has accomplished. And as we find ourselves filled to the brim with this joy, we know that we cannot but help celebrate and share this good news with others. We cannot but help celebrate and share the love of Christ. As this occurs, we know that the very love of God will sustain us, will help us know a healing and restorative power that allows us to continue to walk in this way, that continues to offer such healing and restoration to others who have been blind to it before, who could not hear of this good news, who felt lame and broken, unable to join in with the movement that God was bringing about. Here, all is made whole and restored, and we are welcome to see what God is up to hear of God's mighty deeds in Christ, and to leap with joy for what God has brought about. For these gifts of healing and restoration, for this gift of joy that God shares with us in Christ, this gift that draws us back to one another, that we may no longer need grumble against one another, but live in harmony and peace with each other. Such a gift is this. We can only say in response for all of these things and for all of our joy, thanks be to God. Amen.